So how did you transition from New York and Florida to going overseas? What were you doing overseas?
Well, you know, since I'm a kid, you know, I had friends in different positions, different mob families outside of the Gambino and the Italian Mafia. So I had organizations that were friends with me with, from the Colombia, which I was doing business in the cocaine business.
Okay.
I have a friend of mine, Klaus, that did business with me since the early 90s and with marijuana from California, from Denmark. So we're still good friends. I got friends that were the bosses in families were ran things in the UK, like the Sabinis, that I'm still friends with. So I can go through my Albanian culture. I'm Albanian. We're a very, you know, rough, hands-on kind of culture, very mm-hmm. violent.
Oh, yeah.
We come from, you know, a suppressed country from the Ottoman days till Turkey taking us over to communism. So, you know, I have friends in Albania and guys that were in business with me for years that are back in that country. Italy. So I can go on with country to country, Germany, Switzerland. So, you know, these are all partners and friends of mine over the years that were in all these countries. So I traveled those countries. I had hooks in those countries. Canada, I have hooks in those countries. And we did business, whether it was through money, whether through drugs, whether it was through sports, whether it was helping each other. If a friend of mine had a problem in the UK, which he did, and somebody came to the United States, he asked me to go hurt him for him, I did. Mm-hmm. So we reached a lot further than, you know, a typical, you know, a lot of these mob guys never leave the neighborhood of Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, Manhattan, wherever. And I had the ability, because of some of the contacts I have around the world, to have the ability to do what I want. And I also did it in a good way. I have the ability to go visit those countries and hang out, drink, and have some fun. So I choose my life a little different now to have some fun, drink, and talking about, you know, different things in those countries. And I'm doing shows and magazines about prison in Brazil. And some of the guys that were in prison with me in Brazil are from the UK. They just did a show with me in the UK, and they talked about exactly how dangerous the jails were there and how they survived through me in those prisons. And
the prisons in Brazil?
Yeah, I was in three different penitentiaries.
In Brazil, three different prisons in Brazil.
Yeah.
So. What was that like? Like, can you give me just one insane, specific story about a Brazil prison experience?
So, you know, when guys say to them, you know, you watch movies at concentration camps. And you watch movies in the army, and it's no different than that. We were in a Brazilian penitentiary, and when they come crashing through those doors during the riots, and they come in with ski masks, and I'm talking about military police, SWAT teams in those countries, they'll strip us down. We're all naked, guns to our heads. You know, you beat up a little bit, you pistol whipped a little bit, depending if you're the wrong inmate and the wrong cop. But guys are getting beat up all over. The guys are getting raped within the jails from the guards. And we're brought into at some occasions we're brought into a dark, like a gymnasium, but there's no lights. And it's probably 120 degrees in there, 115 degrees. And some of these guys that were with me in the UK are starting to come out and speaking because they didn't like what Gotti tried to project about the prisons that we were in. And he tried to underplay how many killings were in these jails. And I'm talking about dozens of them.
Why would he try to do that?
I don't know. I guess you're going to have to ask him that if you ever do an interview with anybody. And, you know, these things like we're doing here, they're not, you know this obviously, you can ask any question you want. I don't prearrange them.
Right.
I talk just from the heart. I talk out of experience.
Yeah.
He's not able to do that because he's lied so often. And he talks out of school and he doesn't realize there's guys all over the world that were in those prisons with us, that we all stay in touch with each other. We just had a reunion.
You were like the feet on the ground guys. You guys were in the trenches together.
Yeah, and you know, you got guys from Turkey that were with us, Spain that were with us, Denmark that was with us, a couple Italian guys from Italy that were with us. So when someone talks like he does and he tries to bullshit the public a little bit, these guys just came out of the woodwork, and we're looking to do some shows now on the Brazilian penitentiaries that we were in, some of the riots, some of the things that I just spoke about, the rapes, an inmate being hung and accused of committing a crime he didn't commit.
Mm-hmm.
So, excuse me.
No, it's okay. You can, if you need to answer, you can answer.
No, I don't need.
Okay.
So you have guys coming out of woodwork and they weren't happy with some of the things that were said. And they wanted to set the record straight. At the same time, they're starting to do podcast shows about their experience in these prisons, how they survived them. Mm-hmm. How they credited me for some of the violence I committed in those prisons to save them, and some of the stabbings I did, and some of the killings they witnessed, some of the rapes they witnessed, and the conditions of rats all over the cells, right. And poison and mosquitoes like crazy. Some of the people they seen die because we were so below in a cage that was like, I guess, like the old days torture chambers, almost of the castles you see in the movies. You really can't understand, because these prisons, like a state senator from Brazil said he wouldn't want to spend the day there. He'd rather die first. So these are documented, well documented. The torture was well documented, and the murders after it from prisons, after guys were getting killed and tortured, they were sending guys out from the street to kill those same guards that were torturing, raping.
Really?
So the guards and the police officers started wearing masks, black ski masks, so people wouldn't know their face. But some of the organizations in Brazil that were very violent on the street,
yeah,
started ringing their doorbells. When they answered them, they were shooting them in the head to try to get even for what they were doing in the prison system. I mean, this is all CNN documented stuff, and I was in some of the prisons they talk about. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys that we meet with were discussing, obviously, a TV series about it. And these guys from these countries saw some of the things, obviously, were involved in what I was involved in. And I got off course when we were in those rooms. It was probably 500 guys, 600 guys in a caged-in room. Nowhere to shit, nowhere to piss, and we all of us selectively would select one place in a corner, no toilet paper, no shirts, because we're naked.
Yeah.
And we're brought in there, like I said, like a concentration camp, and you're stepping in, walking on piss and shit, but we try to limit it to one corner, because we're there from some mornings when they do these attacks on the inmates. We're there from 6 in the morning, say, till 10 at night. Uh-huh. There's nowhere to sit, nowhere, you're standing. And you're suffering, and guys are passing out, and guys, some guys in some occasions were dying from the air quality, man. Couldn't breathe. And these are no secrets to the international world of what went on in some of these jails or what you're in. And it's no secret, because it was documented in TV shows with CNN and News, Associated Press across the world. And
can you tell me, what did you have to do? Like, how did you get out of prison so quick? Did you have good behavior? Was there,
it might have been quick for you, but it wasn't quick for me. I mean, listen, when you're in jail.
All right, obviously. But I mean, what I meant by that was you did about 18 years total, right?
Yeah, I did.
And you were originally sentenced to 30?
Well, I was facing 30 when I came back. And then I sat down with the government after I had the paperwork on Gotti and some of the other guys. That, okay. 54 guys went and testified against me in a grand jury. So,
Holy shit.
So it wasn't one or two. And then I, on some other shows, I mean, if somebody's interested, they could look what I said. And I named boss after boss that were testifying, giving information.
So these guys betrayed you.
Yeah, they ain't switching this around. They betrayed me. I didn't betray them. By their set of rules, they all ratted. Later on, I come in and I said, that's it. After I went through each boss and each captain, and they're making statements, all of them against me. And so, without getting into all that crap, people can look at my books and read or watch some of the other interviews, and they can see it. But this is the typical, what I said about the treachery of life. I was betrayed. I never betrayed anybody. Gotti betrayed me. I was in a penitentiary. Even though he was my enemy at that time, he's still betraying what we believed was the life of a good soldier, a mobster. But that's the reality of what happens. But I did, on this case, back to the 30 years, is Brazil extradition law. When you come back, I'm facing to do 25 years. When I did 2.5 years in Brazil, I was supposed to get 9 years credit because of the conditions there.
Right.
So if you give me the 9 years that you're supposed to give me, and I'm supposed to do 25, I'm supposed to do 16 more. Right at 16, I took a 12-year sentence. I got it down to 10. Okay. So I did a lot of time for what I did, actually, on laws. Because these guys, people don't understand that take pleas on murders and get 4 or 5 years or 6 years. Don't cooperate. Some of them do, and they get less. But when they're in that position, and whatever the situation that case is, I know bosses got 10 years. They went on a run. They caught them. They had 2 separate trials, and they still only got 10 years without cooperation. Wow. Because of the situation, it depends on that have weapons. So we'll get into one last thing before I leave. Okay. I never been caught with any kind of crime. Nothing on this case. On the case that I was facing life, and I went on a run, and I had the extradition of 30 years, so it's only from what the Gottis or somebody will say, rats. It was informants. It was only testimony. It wasn't me selling a drug and someone caught me. It wasn't me getting caught with kilos. It wasn't me on an audio tape or a videotape. It wasn't me at a shooting or at a killing. It wasn't me getting caught with a used weapon. It wasn't me anywhere. So when people use the excuse of, well, it was all rats against me and everybody's a rat, 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 rat. And they talk that they're usually a rat like Gotti was. Nobody knocked on my door and said, oh, we're going to arrest you for all these crimes because we don't like you. Listen, I'm a criminal.
It was people trying to save their own fucking ass.
Yeah, and mostly, you know, the mob guys that testified against me and gave information on the sneak against me and were informants. But listen, I'm okay with it. My life's not at that point anymore. I don't give a fuck what they did. I don't really give a fuck what Gotti
did.
But don't change the storyline. The storyline is you guys ratted, betrayed me. I left this country. Left my children, left my family, stood in those concentration camps not to talk against my enemies or my friends. You all betrayed me and came home and that changed. So when someone says who betrayed who, I didn't betray anybody by those rules. But those rules and that life's gone for me.
Yeah.
But we'll keep that record straight that I never got caught. So this paperwork, they can go check. I never been caught with a crime.